So at this time, please join me in welcoming our main speaker, Ron G. from Pasadena.
Hello there. My name's Ron. I'm definitely an alcoholic. Nervous, but you know, suit up and show up. First things first, I want to thank Raina for contacting us and asking us to come up here, which we love coming up here anyways, and I'll get into that. And thanks, Gil, for being welcoming. And thanks to the whole Village Group heckling section here that I'm sure we're going to hear from tonight. I know what to do. I've been around for a little while. My sobriety date's 3/17/94, so 29 years. And so I know how to do this, but that's different than actually getting up here and doing it. So you're going to get what you get. I've been a pool man for 33 years. So between the chlorine fumes and the, plus I'm also a blackout speaker, just like I was a blackout drinker. So there might be a few moments of silence here that, while I regain my composure. I'm sober. Guaranteed sober. That is the one thing that I've done right in 29 years is not take a drink or any drugs or anything like that. The other thing I've done right, I think, is stay connected to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is a few different things to me. It's the people, the fellowship, the meetings, then the sponsorship, working the program, the steps and being of service. So I've not stopped doing any of that stuff. In the whole time I've been sober, I've only one time went 2 weeks without a meeting. I believe we were on vacation somewhere where there was no meetings. And then one time we were whitewater rafting the Grand Canyon and we went to the Phantom Ranch and found AA books on the bookshelf there at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. So, we're everywhere. My disclaimer is I realize I only know a little. I am not a book thumper or anything like that, but I do love the big book and just do the best I can. I'm just another member of Alcoholics Anonymous, trying to stay sober one more day. I was born in Pasadena in 1960. The hospital I was born at was called the Glendale Sanitarium. And that is where my wife retired from after like 35 years, the same place. I've also been to AA panels there in the alcoholic psych ward. In our family life, and my little sister Lynette is here with 9 years sober. She has been the poster child of AA, I believe, for me. I call her that. But our life growing up was so normal-ish like it seems to me that, drinking was around. Camping, just baseball, Little League, all that, just a kind of a normal life, I just always wanted to do what the grown-ups were doing, and they were drinking and smoking and cussing and whatever, and that's just what I wanted to do, as a kid. I looked up to them, literally. So that's what I pursued, In 1970, when I was 10, we moved to Pismo, Shell Beach, St. Andrews, if anyone knows that, and it was neat, man. It was neat. It was, at first when you move somewhere, it's a little dramatic, but I saw these like hoodlums riding their stingrays around the streets, like even staying out at night and stuff. And I gravitated towards them. One of them, one day, I think I was 11 or 12. I'm not sure exactly the date, but I drank before, sips or, a little bit, but he stole two tall cans of Brew 102 malt liquor from his mom and brought them up, and we each drank it as fast as we could, and that was my beginning. That was when I really, this is what I wanted. I love this, So how it goes. It was progressive from there on. It just got better and better or worse and worse, however you want to say it, but it progressed. Got in a lot of trouble. I thought I always had bad luck. The Pismo cops knew where I lived. And whenever anything happened, whether it was me or not, they pretty much came to our house. My mom was a nervous wreck, and that was my biggest amends was to mom, because, that was some damage there. I just kept going, Rio Grande High School, We partied even on weeknights. There was keg parties. I mean, I don't know. Is it still like that up here? We partied like crazy. We partied. I'm telling you. Keg parties, live bands, just, you know, crazy stuff. And I just loved it, you know. I remember one time I had my buddy on the back of my motorcycle, and we had like two cases of beer we were carrying, you know, going out to, what is it, out by Lopez, Biddle Park or something out there. And we made it. We made it out there. And somehow I made it back. I don't know. You know, I'm so lucky to be alive after all the stuff I went through. But for me, I just became to accept more and more of it, you know, as it went on. Like the trouble would get a little worse and, okay, well, you know, well, let's get used to that. Not having a driver's license, paying court fines, all the stuff, you know. I just loved drinking, partying, you know. But I was thinking just recently, trying to think about what I'm going to say up here, but I was thinking about, too, all the words that we would use to describe partying, like hammered, plastered, you know. I'm like, those aren't really good words to describe how you've been. Come on, man, you know. But we thought, you know, coming up with all these words, blitzed, you know, all those words that we would use, and I was all of them. Among all the other ones, too, belligerent, obnoxious, you know, that's how I became. And I thought I was having fun, you know. I thought I was a fun-loving, easygoing, you know, back-slapping, have a good time. But someone at the meeting this morning, the village group meeting, was remembering about people telling you what happened the next morning. And I had episodes like that too. And I'd say, oh no, you must have been drunk. You making that up, you know. But then when it happens so many times, you start to believe it, you know. And then I would just like not hang around them anymore or something. And that was kind of what happened to me towards the end of my thing. Well, I got, so our parents got divorced when I was like 18. I'm not good on all the dates and ages and stuff, but right around there somewhere. So then the party was really on when Dad was gone. I ended up moving from Pismo to Paso Robles because I was working up there. And so the whole 80s for me is very gray, you know, as far as trying to remember stuff or, you know, and being lucky I survived. And I ended up at the end of the 80s in San Luis County Jail. It was another substance, but I always drank. I always, no matter what, alcohol had to be there, you know. So much so that when I was first getting sober, I would reach over for the drink. I'd be sitting in my chair and I would reach over. Oh, there's one here tonight, but I think I'll drink some. So I went to Paso Robles, got just in trouble. I mean, I was sucked up. The one story I like to tell is not Lynette, but our other sister. I was bad. I was doing that stuff and not eating and, you know, unemployable and sucked up. I weighed 140 pounds. I weigh now like 195, maybe, after tonight's dinner, thank you. I could put my hand around my arm. I was completely pale white. My eyes were sunken in black. I looked kind of like Abraham Lincoln or whatever, you know, no cheese or whatever. And I had a scared look on my face. I have some pictures, is how I remember this. So I'm sitting on the couch, and my sister's coming up from like San Luis, wherever she was living, to get her washer and dryer that I'd been holding from her. Well, there was a guy right down the street from me that was a beer truck driver, and he kept bringing me beer, so I was letting him use the washer and dryer. So she came up to get it and knocked on my door. And I said, okay, come in, because I couldn't get up off the couch and open the door. And she opened the door and looked at me and started crying. No. Neither one of us said one word. She just started crying. We're 2 days, less than a year apart, is how close we are. And my sobriety date is actually her birthday, St. Patrick's Day. But that doesn't have anything to do with the story. But so I'm sitting there on the couch, and I felt lower than low. I couldn't even lie to her. I had no response. She just stood there and cried, you know. And so that's one of the stories. That's one of the things I never forget, you know. And that was a long time ago. but now we're really close. She has moved to Oregon, but we see her. We go on vacations together. We go visit her. She comes visit us, whatever. I just kept going. That didn't stop me. We know how that is. Bad motorcycle wreck, ended up in the hospital. Here's the times I didn't drink. When I had that motorcycle wreck, I was in San Luis French Hospital or something because I had rocks and gravel jammed up in my arm. And I was hoping someone would, but no one brought me anything to the hospital, so I didn't drink for a week. Got out of there, just got right back into it, kept going. Then when I was in San Luis County Jail, because I got arrested for, you know, illegal activity. Over Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, I believe it was 88 to 89, yeah. So I didn't drink because I was in jail. I didn't even see anyone making any. I think I heard of someone making something, but the one time, I was in there for 103 days. Right in the middle of my stint, I was on the honor farm, and we're out cleaning up the freeway, and I found a half a gallon of unopened Annie Green Springs wine. I'm not a wine drinker, but I put it in the ice chest, that orange ice chest on the back of the van, and by lunch break, it was cold. I drank the whole thing except for one little styrofoam cup I gave to one dude, and went back to the dorm in the honor farm and took a nap. Didn't even get caught. So I didn't have 103 days drive-in because I drank right in the middle of my jail stint. But when I got out, my oldest sister came and picked me up with an ice-cold six-pack of Miller Genuine Draft Light. And that was just what I needed. So I thought. So I drank myself into AA. After that, you know, it was 4 years till I got sober. She took me back down to SoCal. That's how I ended up there. Because they thought they're going to get me away from the program problem. We know how that works, right? I was still with me. And I lived with them for a minute, but her three daughters, I was picking on them too much, and so they booted me out. So 30 years old, guess who I had to live with? Mom, yeah. And Mom, I can still hear her. You're a goddamn alcoholic. Why don't you just drink on weekends? Or wake up, you're spilling your beer on my couch. You know, all that stuff. My poor mom, you know. That's when I got my second DUI. Oh, my first DUI was 19 in San Luis Obispo, totally hammered. We were drinking hard liquor. They didn't do anything to me. That was 1979. I made it all the way to 1991 somehow. I don't know how, because I drove drunk like a lot. That's when I got my next DUI and went to AA. You know, oh, I got a panel meeting at San Luis County. They brought in a panel. That was actually my first introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous. First time I saw the big book, I just thought, man, these guys, to come all the way out here and talk to 8 or 10 guys that are in denial, you know, like we shouldn't be here, this or that or whatever. None of us were really like, yeah, I want to get sober, you know. But they stayed there and they did their deal and it impressed me, you know. So then all that time later, then I end up in AA again, and I just, you know, had to be there. So I listened and I thought, you know I'm an alcoholic, but it's not that bad. I'm, you know, whatever. And also too, the counselor dude that was talking, he said, yeah, it's your first offense because it was so long from my 1979 one. They're all, so you're probably not alcoholic. It's your first offense. Just don't drive. I'm like, yes, there I go. So that was my plan. But that didn't work out, you know. I'll just be careful. No sooner did I pull my little Datsun pickup out of the Steerberger parking lot, the Arcadia police were right behind me. And once I saw those red lights, moment of clarity. I knew I'm coming here. I just knew it. And by then, I was sad. You know, it was becoming over for me. My family didn't want me around. I had a son. When I first went down to SoCal, I met a girl and she got pregnant. So I had a son. And so the only way I could see him was his mom would bring him over to my sister's because she was trustworthy. And then every other weekend, and I would get to be there to see my son. So there was, I just have this memory of being in the garage with a brother-in-law drinking and doing bong hits, looking at my son out the little garage window as he's out there by himself when I'm supposed to be playing with him, my little one visit every other weekend, and he's out there bored kicking rocks by himself because I have to be in the garage. So I ended up getting sober shortly after that, thankfully, and actually being a dad for him, you know, which is crazy. Just went through college. Now he actually has moved back home and had 60 days sober yesterday. Yeah, yeah. So it's awesome. It's awesome. I was, you know, worried about him, but it's pretty cool. Having family members in the program, you know, and it's just it's a good deal. It's a good deal. So, yeah, there's a lot of time left. There goes that first blackout. All right. Okay, let's regroup. You guys are a good crowd. You know, when I go to panels, I hope we all stay sober. You know, it's so nasty. My brother-in-law, the one I mentioned, who I was in the garage with, he's had near death. He doesn't want to come to AA. He doesn't believe in God or doesn't want to believe and doesn't want to hold hands. And those were his reasons. But he's gray and yellow and has had near death, you know, problems. And he's still kicking, but I don't know. He's 6 months older than me. That's it. So I'm just glad that I made it here. You know, like I said, I knew I was an alcoholic for a long time before I got sober. Once I got the DUIs and went to the meetings and saw the solution. When I came here and I heard you guys, that was it, man. That was it for me. I knew it. That's why I've been saying the whole time I've been sober, my name's Ron, I'm definitely an alcoholic. There's no doubt in my mind that I belong here. When I read the book, I was like, oh my God, this is me. They wrote this book about me, you know? Even though I was never a stockbroker or a doctor or nothing like that, but when they talk about the, you know, alcoholism stuff and the thinking area, I'm just like, man, it's crazy. So that's super good for me just to know that I'm in the right place. I feel so good because all I ever wanted was to feel good. Didn't we all? What did we do? All that stuff we did. We wanted to feel good. I wanted to have fun, you know? And this was the last place I thought I was going to find it. Totally was. But when I came here, when they made me come here, or whatever. I mean, well, I could have ran from been a fugitive from the law again, but I said, no, I'll just go to those classes, whatever. Go to those meetings. Just fell in love with it, man. I just, right away. But it still took me 4 months. I went to this meeting in Altadena, my home group, the 185 West Altadena Drive. It's a church, little church. And they'd already been having meetings there for about 8 or 10 years by the time I got there. So they were well established, and they had firm, like, no chanting, no repeating, sit down, shut up and listen, that kind of sobriety, you know, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth and, you know, whatever. So it was good for me. I got a good foundation, you know, and I was ready. After those 4 months of testing the water, I call it, I finally surrendered and asked God, which I've never been religious. I believed there was a God, but I wasn't worthy. I was too much of a screw up and a punk. God didn't want to help me. You know, I don't help old ladies across the street or put shopping carts back or anything. So I knew that I was not on that list. But when I heard you people, I changed my mind. I changed my mind, you know. And I really liked that no one made me do anything. They said, come on in, sit down, welcome. You know, this is what we do, and we're sober. And if you want what we have, you know, and if you're willing to go to any length, well, I had to think about that one. And I finally said, yeah, I'll do what you guys, you know, suggest. I haven't had to go to any lengths most of the time. You know, I'm willing to if I have to, but I haven't. I mean, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, that's for sure, you know. Oh, it's music. These ringtones these days. At least we didn't get Zoom bombed. I've experienced that one time. It's pretty funny. So here I am a long time later. And life is good, you know. This sobriety thing is just a blast. I mean, going to conventions, going to panels, different places, all the friends, the support, the sober activities. it's such a good life that I, you know, sometimes think, God, I wish I would have got to it earlier. But there's guys still out there that aren't even here yet, so I'm a lucky one, you know. I got a sponsor right away because that's what they were saying. Everybody was saying, do that, so I did. And he was a nice guy. He ended up moving shortly after, moving out of state. So I got a second sponsor who's actually younger than me, but I related to him pretty good. We did a good fourth and fifth step, helped me a lot. Then he got busy taking care of his dad, so I got a third sponsor, and he was good. He helped me with eighth and ninth. By then I had like 7 years sober, 8 years sober. Not by the time I did my eighth and ninth, but by the time we parted ways. He still wanted us to like call him every day and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, I'm 8 years sober, man. Calling you every day, whatever. No, I had already been looking for another sponsor, but my other sponsor I've had since then. So over 20 years, Michael from San Francisco has been my sponsor. We talk, but, so the steps were big for me. The fourth step was, the biggest part was my part in it. What's my part in it? Because I was one of those that didn't, it wasn't my fault. I had bad luck. If you guys would have done what you were supposed to do, everything would have worked out. You know, I was one of those guys. So once I started looking at myself, like we're supposed to do in here, it got better. And it's been a slow road, but a steady road of progress, you know, slow-briety. They have that in San Luis probably, huh? Slow-briety. But we've done amazing things. I can't tell what time it is. Is that clock broken? I think it is. We've done amazing things. Right when Tiz and I got together, we met in AA at the 185. We were friends for 6 months. She wanted me to go see her dog. The dog loved me, so I was in. We've been together, you know, and we've gone through life. We've done, you know, people have lived in our house and had illnesses. Her sister-in-law passed away in 2012. Was a rough year for us. First her sister, then our mom, and our dog, and then a couple other people, some good friends that year. It was a really tough year. But, you know, we know how to huddle together and use the support of our fellowship. There's been other things, you know, just got to get through it. Learn how to face it, you know, not run from it, not hide from life. Enjoy life. I've been a pool man for 33 years, like I said, so I worked for a company for 15 years, and then it got to where people in AA or friends of mine or other people were wanting me to be their pool man, so I ended up getting my own business. On my t-shirts on the back, put "Don't Worry, Be Happy." That song is what, you know, I didn't make it up. But that's what I wanted for my slogan or whatever. And then down at the bottom of the palm tree, because there was a nice oasis with a swimming pool, there was a little circle triangle on my t-shirts. So because everything I have, everything I do, everything I am is because of this program. There's no doubt in my mind about that, you know. I ride dirt bikes, and all my dirt bikes have the little stickers on them. Now, my truck doesn't. My new truck doesn't. I did have one on the bumper hit trailer hitch cover thing, but I backed into something and ruined it, so now... But still, Easy Does It. When I was new, I saw this old lady driving real slow. She had the Easy Does It. I thought, oh, that's what that means. She wants to drive slow. No, it's an AA. It's actually an AA slogan. She was coming from the meeting, I guess. I don't know. So, you know, we're in a church. I try not to use profanity. Now I forgot where I was going with that. There's something about the Easy Does It. My God, I totally... forgot what I was going to say, something good too. Okay, so stay sober, work the steps, be of service, and then what? Then what? Just keep, you know, it's a broad highway. It's like living the dream. I've met people here that I can't believe their life story. It's crazy. I mean, well, everybody knew who Clancy was. from the gutter, laying in the gutter with his teeth broken. He ends up running the dang mission. I mean, come on. And the Pacific Group, that's quite a story, you know. And all of us, we get to live our dream here if we want. You know, I've worked hard to get where I am, and I am grateful for everything, you know, and I feel good because I've worked for it. I used to think, oh, that guy next door has a ski boat. I should have a ski boat. You know, it's not fair. Well, the fair is in Paso Robles or whatever. But, and I haven't been there in a long time. Yeah, what else? So some of my friends who I kept in touch with, a few of the friends from Shell Beach over the years. One of them was up in the hills up by Fresno somewhere growing weed and making a lot of money. But the only thing, he didn't have TV reception, so he would watch at night. It would be the religious channel thing. So what happened for him was God talked to him, and he stopped doing that, and he opened his own church. He became a spiritual dude, man. Started going into prisons, talking to people. I mean, that's a crazy, you know, without a program, you just start going to church. But anyways, he's still alive. But some of the other guys, you know, one guy was fentanyl. One guy did a lot of meth over the years. Another guy who did everything got pancreatic cancer. And so a lot of them are gone, you know, and it's sad to see. Like I say, I'm glad I made it here because I'd be gone, you know, I believe. If I was still alive, it would be, I don't know, I wouldn't want to see it. Yeah, it's cool. It's nice to. I'm glad you guys laugh at Goofy, because I gotta tell you, I've met, and like I said, all the people. I've always had commitments. Ever since, like, they gave me a coffee commitment right away. Once they saw I was sober and I started, you know, acting like I was sober, they gave me a coffee commitment, you know, and then so. I had this little apartment, and if you came to my apartment, there'd be like coffee pot, literature, treasury, but you know, the whole bit. It looked like I was having meetings in my apartment. I had so many commitments. So that was good, because when I was out there doing my thing, I always wanted to be a part of. Like if there's a gang fight, I'm jumping on the pile, you know, or if they have a bar, I want to be the bartender, or the DJ if they have, you know, I always wanted to be right there in the middle. And that's kind of what I do here, you know. We have, at our group, I'm the holder of the key for my Monday night home group, and make sure that, you know, we get the meetings going, like Gil does here, and Raina, and everybody. And I appreciate that. I was of service on the Southern California AA convention, which was a lot of fun. It was actually in Pasadena one year, so that was easy. I'm really losing it now. What do you guys want to hear? I'm getting old, man. That's what happens if you don't die and you stay sober. You know, you get to be old. I got aches and pains and everything, but I'm still happy. You know, it's okay. When we first got together, we did a road trip. And we went up from Pasadena, we just started driving north to come up here to see Lynette and my dad and everybody, and we hit a meeting and a quilt store every day, because she's a quilter, so. But we went all the way up Monterey, then across to see my mom and back down, you know, it was like a 1 week road trip thing, and that was pretty cool. Then we started stepping it up a little bit. Like I said, we did the whitewater rafting in the Grand Canyon with Dad and everybody. And Lynette was still drinking. I could tell a story, but I'm not going to. But needless to say, she got a little overserved that night. And we were saving her a seat, you know, hoping. And here she is, and that's awesome. Then we've been to Hawaii several times. The first time we went was my first time in Hawaii. It was the AA convention. In the brand new convention center in Waikiki. And you know, the hotel's taken over by alcoholics. Everybody's talking about the steps and the elevator and the jacuzzi, and every restaurant you go to, there's AA people everywhere, and it's a blast. If anyone hasn't done that, go to a convention. They're a lot of fun. I recommend it. We just recently went back again to the Hawaii convention after many years, and it was good. We went to the San Antonio World Convention, the one they have every 5 years. That was my only one I've been to so far, but man, it's amazing. With like 55,000 people, they do a moment of silence, and it is silent. It's crazy. People over here wearing turbans, guys over here wearing kilts, you know. It's like you're at the Olympics, the flags from 70 different countries and all that. It is kind of the Olympics of AA, I think, maybe. I don't know. But a lot of experiences over the years, you know. And just the friends that we've made, you know, we just love sober people. I mean, other people are okay, but, you know, we like AA people. Yeah. Our best friend, we really close with her. She had to give up her dog, so we've had her little dog. He's actually waiting out in the car right now. Probably hoping this gets over soon, like me too. It's tough. I don't know if, I'm sure several of you guys have done this. It's not as easy as it looks. I mean, she made it look easy. She did an awesome job. Yeah. Yeah, so the nights, I remember, here's a memory. when my dad used to live in Atascadero and I was newly sober, a few years, I don't know how long we were talking about the program. And so I mentioned something, just barely mentioned amends. Stepmom ran back to the back room, came out with an itemized list of everything I owed him. I was like, damn, I shouldn't have said nothing. I'm not even on that step yet. So, but I ended up getting there, and the way I did it was the way my friend Doug, who has actually spoken at this meeting years ago, we were up here and here was Doug, he sent, you know, got his amount that he could afford and sent it every month and started putting a little note in there to help rebuild the relationship. And I did that with my dad. And it helped, you know. We weren't perfect, our relationship, but it was way better. He'd had a couple of major surgeries, you know, that really slowed him down. Congestive heart failure. The second time we went to see him at UCLA, right after he had surgery, Tiz and I walked in and he looked at us and said, well, I guess I gotta believe in God now. And I said, no, you don't have to, but, you know. My higher power is all inclusive. It's not defined, really, you know. I take a little bit of everything when I hear good stuff and I just use that, you know. It's a spiritual, it's a deep down inside me that I feel it and believe it. I think that's just powerful right there. And the seeking too, you know. Not the knowing or the understanding, but the trying. Just keep trudging is what I do. Just keep coming back, you know. And try to enjoy it along the way, you know. Oh, I know what I was going to say now when I blacked out that last time about the profanity. And it's probably not funny now. But the only time I cuss now is like if I stub my toe or if someone cuts me off. You won't hear me, though, but I'll be cussing. That gets me. Drivers. I live in L.A., so, yeah. Actually, it's getting bad up here now, too. But we had a very happy moment today. We took our little dog to the beach for the first time. Port Beach, you know, with all the other doggies. And at first he was like, whoa, you know, because he's not that big. And there's all these big dogs. But then he just started running around like a kid with his first Disneyland trip or something. And we've had him for quite a while. And that was the happiest I've ever seen him. And it was pretty amazing to see little Chester running hot laps. You know, the little things. It's not that I went skydiving on Lynette's 50th birthday with her, or that I raced motocross, you know, my lifetime dream when I was 50 years old. It's the little things, the daily things that I appreciate. And I was not like that. I would trample the flowers, you know, and I was just that kind of guy. I was angry. I was waiting for something to happen. Life wasn't fair. But, you know, today, it's good. It's good. you know, yeah, stuff happens, but the support of the program is invaluable, man. I'm every day. So, you know, 29 plus years, every single day. This is like, what, 12,000 days, 10,798 days. I don't know how much it is, but it's a lot of days. Every single day, I've had some kind of connection with the program. Whether I'm thinking, grateful, talking to my higher power, talking to that, whatever. Every single day, I've had thoughts of sobriety, you know. Because I don't want to forget. I hope I do that for the rest of my life, you know. Very appreciative. And we've been to meetings all over. You know, we have a timeshare in Mexico. We go to meetings there. We've been to some really good ones in Hawaii. You know, sitting on Kihei Beach at 5 in the afternoon with people from all over the world in a circle on the grass while the sun sets over Maui Bay. That's a good meeting. I'm telling you, that's a good one. Yeah. So, and then just the little improv meeting in the park or something. You know, I just love everywhere I go, even when I don't know anybody. We did a road trip up the Columbia River Gorge last year and went to a couple of meetings up there, and they were awesome. We didn't know one single person, you know, but it's just good to feel comfortable somewhere, you know. That's what it's about. I want to be comfortable in my own skin so I don't ever have to or want to drink again, you know. Well, maybe that clock is working. It's moved a little bit. All right, so I don't have any words of wisdom or advice, just the usual stuff that we say, keep coming back. You know, it works. Like I said, and I have not put forth maximum effort a lot of the time, you know. And I'm still here. Yeah. You guys can clap now.